Welcome to Karate Radio. My name is Carly Samish, and I'm a missionary in Portland, Oregon, in the United States, and I'm with the Gnostic Society Samael Omnior. I'm very honored to be on Karate Radio today, and I want to thank Elio and Anibel for their sacrifice in making this radio program possible. I want to thank the Gnostic community in Portland and all around the world, and also the International Coordination, Rafael and Leda Vargas, for all their tremendous work. And I want to thank all of you for listening today. So today we'll be talking about the classical four elements in nature, in the Gnostic esoteric teachings, and in our practical spiritual work. So an element is something fundamental, essential, and unchangeable. The four elements constitute four conditions of matter, but they're not just physical, they're energetic, vital, and psychological. These four elements are important concepts, and we found them in the teachings of ancient Greece, particularly with Plato and Aristotle. We find the four elements in the Chaldean, Assyrian, Babylonian cultures, in the Vedic teachings of India, in ancient Egypt, and in indigenous cultures all around the world. Our physical bodies are composed of the four elements. All of nature is the four elements. We find them in our emotional and mental worlds. The four elements have a spiritual intelligence and are also spiritual archetypes. The four elements play a unique role in the teachings of the initiatic path, where we confront the elements within ourselves in order to purify, refine, and conquer them. So we understand the physical world to be a reflection of the internal and spiritual worlds. Therefore, these four elements of earth, air, water, and fire exist in all the dimensions, all the worlds, just in more dense or more refined forms. The four elements are integral to an understanding of Kabbalah, tarot, astrology, alchemy, magic, as well as traditional European and ancient Greek medicine. The four elements are used in practices of white magic, rituals and ceremonies, conjuring the negative or base aspect of the element and invoking the purest form of the element to assist whatever esoteric work you're doing. In traditional European medicine, the diagnosis is based on the imbalances of the four elements within the human body and bringing them into balance using herbal remedies, other types of remedies, and also taking into account the energy of the particular season, the weather, the astrological influence, etc. In the teachings of alchemy, there's really a profound understanding of the use of the four elements and how their wise combination can bring about the transformation of lead into gold. And of course, we understand this not to be a laboratory process or an external process, but an internal, psychological, and spiritual transformation of the lead of the personality into the gold of the spirit. In alchemical terms, water is called mercury. The sexual waters, which is the fluid vital matrix that can be in an inert state or activated by the consciousness. Fire is the sulfur, which is the sexual energy that can exist in varying states of purification. The fire activates the water to create a vapor, and this pressure, the cooking, creates the necessary heat within to generate the transformation of the lead into gold. In alchemy, earth is called salt, or also the philosophical earth, and it's the vessel of the human body where the cooking takes place. And the air is called the azoth, which is the mental force of the alchemist or the magician that directs this process. So you see these four elements in the magnificent teachings of alchemy. We also see the four elements in traditional tarot decks with the four suits of the minor arcana, each associated with a different element. The wands are fire, the swords air, the pentacles earth, and the cups water. So we know from other talks here and study of the tarot is the map of the spiritual path, of the initiatic path. And the work with the four elements and the minor arcana of the tarot mirrors the test of the four elements in the probationary path of the minor mysteries, which we'll talk a little bit more about in this lecture. And the cards of the major arcanum are related with the major mysteries and are associated with each particular pathway in Sephiroth on the Tree of Life. We see the four elements as the basis of the zodiac, the wheel of the 12 astrological signs. We find the zodiac itself in the Sephira Hakma on the Tree of Life, which is the cosmic Christ. Each of the 12 zodiacal signs is an element in a state of initiating, sustaining, or transforming. So there is initiating fire, sustaining fire, and transformational fire, initiating earth, sustaining earth, transformational earth, and so on. So these four elements in their three states equals 12, which is the number of completion or crystallization. And this number, 12, creates the correct circumstances for the Christ force to exist, which is the purpose of the zodiac. So that's why we see the zodiac in Chokmah, the cosmic Christ. And of course, we see this with Jesus Christ and his 12 disciples, just that Christ force working within the zodiac. So we are always working within the four elements in some way, physically and internally, just as we're always working within nature, within the physical body, within Malkut, which is the physical world. We're always working within our current circumstances. And the better we know our physical reality, including the four elements and our relationship to them, the better we can work in our psychological and spiritual processes. So just to describe the four elements, just a basic understanding of them. Earth is the state of matter where the molecules are closely packed. What was called earth to the ancients is now called carbon, according to the modern understanding of the elements. The qualities of earth is solid, it's heavy, dense, stable, it's enduring and slow. Water is the state of matter where the molecules flow over each other, called hydrogen in the modern times. Water is fluidic, receptive, reflective, cooling, healing, cleansing. It flows downward and sinks. Fire is the element of pure transformation, and the molecules are constantly combusting and transmuting, and we call this nitrogen now. Fire is warming, it radiates, it's consuming and light generating, and it rises up. Air is the element where the molecules diffuse completely and spread out, and today called oxygen. Air is light, clear, pure, dry, and it's associated with exchange, and its movement as it expands outward. In our physical body, the earth element is our flesh and our bones, teeth, connective tissue, nails, and hair. The water element is our blood, lymph fluid, mucus, plasma, and serous fluid. The air element in our body is the air in the lungs and the oxygen in the blood, and any hollow or porous structure of the body. We find the fire element in our digestive fire, in our cellular metabolism, and all the enzymes, and in bodily heat. So from a modern perspective, the classical four elements are considered somewhat of a primitive worldview, something that served as a foundation for the more modern complex understanding of the elements. But from an esoteric perspective, we see that these four elements are not just physical. They are condensations of archetypes in the superior worlds, seen in the majestic Sphinx and many other divine archetypes and images. There is an intelligence, a balance, and a purpose within the four elements. The modern scientific understanding is the periodic table of the elements, which is the list of all the known indivisible elements in the universe. And there are currently, I believe, 103 known elements, each heavier than the last. And some actually only exist for a fraction of a second in a lab, but it's still technically an element, a discovered element. And the elements that are being discovered more and more recently are also more dense, and they have a heavier atomic weight. So this is sort of interesting to reflect on. One of the heavier elements is called Neptunium, and it has an atomic weight of 93. So energetically, we can see that this corresponds with the densest level of the Klepoth, which are the shadow of the Tree of Life. And the Klepoth in this sphere is called Neptune. So as our karma becomes more complicated and heavier in this world, our consciousness just as people is naturally starting to become more attuned to these heavier elements, and we include them in our common knowledge in the scientific realm. But to understand nature deeply, we don't need to fascinate ourselves with the increasing complexity of matter or get lost in the reductionist, materialistic way of thinking. We want to just investigate the four elements energetically, psychologically, and spiritually to understand them. Elements each have a spirit called an elemental, which were written about extensively by the great alchemist, physician, and occultist Paracelsus. The elements of the earth are called the gnomes or pygmies, and you may recognize the gnomes from fairy tales such as Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, where, of course, the Seven Dwarves are the gnomes, and they're going off to work every day to work in the mines. We see the famous gnomes with their red hats, seen working in people's gardens, the statues. The elementals of the water are called the nereids and undines. So all the stories of sailors encountering mermaids and being enchanted and called to the ocean are these human encounters, these moments with the water elemental. The elementals of the air are called sylphs and fairies, very famously depicted in Shakespeare's A Midsummer's Night Dream, where we see the king and queen of the fairies playing tricks on some humans. And the elementals of the fire are called salamanders. According to Manly P. Hall, and I quote, "The Egyptians, Chaldeans, and Persians often mistook the salamanders for gods because of their radiant splendor and great power. The Greeks, following the example of earlier nations, deified the fire spirits and in their honor kept incense and altar fire burning perpetually." So we see these elementals of nature in so many stories and mythologies and you know, within the writings of great masters like Paracelsus. And so we understand that to be that living, vital, conscious, spiritual aspect of these elements that we recognize physically. And we can have conscious interactions with these elementals through an aspect of our Divine Mother called the Elemental Intercessor. And she can act as an advocate or an intermediary between us and the elementals for any type of esoteric work we need. Maybe we need some kind of healing to overcome a test related to the elements and so forth. Our divine elemental intercessor, our divine mother, she's like a cultural diplomat or like an ambassador who knows the language and the culture of the elements and can negotiate for help for us for our inner work. So we can always remember that aspect. And then we have the Sphinx. And the Sphinx is the great elemental intercessor of nature. And we've all seen pictures of this wonderful creature. The Sphinx has the body of the lion, which represents the fire. It has the haunches, the back legs of the bull, which is the earth. The head of the human, which is water, and the wings of the eagle, which is the air element. And the Sphinx holds the great secrets of nature by beautifully representing the four elements in harmony and balance. So Mylon Beor relates an experience he had with the Sphinx. He writes about it in his book, Tarot and Kabbalah. The Sphinx comes to him with his feet covered in mud, and Samael comprehends that this is the state of our world now in the Kali Yuga, in the Iron Age, with the abuse of the four elements physically and internally. In his book, The Great Rebellion, Master Samael describes the state of our environmental pollution. He talks about the polluted air and the earth that is stripped of nutrients and the garbage in the oceans, so forth, the polluted water in the cities, the nuclear waste that's impossible to safely dispose of. So, and this book was written in 1976, and it was true then, and it's probably quite a bit worse now. The beautiful Sphinx of nature isn't worshipped any longer, but it's exploited and covered in mud, and it's a sad state of the state of the elements and our relationship to them in this day and age. So for ourselves, obviously, we do what we can to not cause more environmental destruction. But with our sleeping consciousness, it can be difficult to remedy these worldwide problems. And it's better that we can remember our elemental intercessor, our Divine Mother, ask and pray for the healing of the elementals of nature. And the elementals are innocent. All these sylphs and fairies, gnomes, the salamanders are innocent creatures, and they're suffering from the chaos in the world. So we can pray for them that the earth, water, fire, and air is purified and cleansed and healed. And we can also comprehend that this external environment, this external pollution, is a result of our internal environment being polluted.
we know that the external is a reflection of the internal.
So our philosophical earth in our body, with our sleeping consciousness, we exploit the energies of our physical body, of our philosophical earth. And so our actions become actions of ego, and we waste our vital energies. So this is, we see this very clearly externally, like the way that humans are draining the fossil fuels from the earth. So just wasting and draining the vital energies. Our internal sexual water, the mercury, is polluted because of misuse of the sexual energy and because of negative thinking from despair and lack of love and faith. Our internal sulfur, the sexual energy, when not used wisely or transmuted, it becomes the arsenic sulfur, which is like a toxic desire with no way to safely contain it. And the air of our thoughts and mental sphere, the breath of our word, is polluted because of our psychological sleep. So the solution then is to work with the four elements within ourselves by organizing the earth with upright habits and actions. We want to cleanse the sexual waters by really treasuring our sexual energy and striving to not pollute it with desire and negative thinking. We can transmute the fire through inspiration of the heart and our pranayama practices, and purification of the air with vigilance in our thoughts, with prayer, and with the upright or the proper use of the word. So again, these four elements, they're a part of Divine Mother Nature. And just as our physical mother gestates and nourishes us, our Divine Mother Nature provides the molecular fabric of our physical and internal bodies. The basis of this molecular fabric is always the four elements. And so we want to remember and honor our Divine Mother Nature, ask for her help to purify and cleanse our internal elements. We can be so inspired by seeing and witnessing Divine Mother Nature in the raw state and natural place. So seeing the hills and caves, mountains, seeing the water and the oceans and rivers, seeing the air and just open spaces in the sky, and fire and the sun and lightning. And the beauty and wildness of nature exists outside in our environment, and it's also inside of our bodies, as I've been saying. And nature is not something that is wild just to be conquered. So we're not trying to just conquer nature externally, control our environment. We're not just trying to just sort of conquer and suppress our physical body. We want to have a relationship with nature. We want to have a relationship with the four elements. We want to be in relationship with our Divine Mother Nature, and Divine Mother in all of her forms. We know that the Divine Mother has many forms. She, particularly five, Master Samael speaks about. She is the unmanifested Prakriti, the chaos that becomes fecundated to birth a new cosmic day. In the Tree of Life, the Divine Mother is Bina, the unfoldment and concert of the Holy Spirit. She's our individual Isis in the sphere of Gebura. She is our Kundalini vital sexual force in Yasad, called the Foundation. And she is Divine Mother Death in the inferior astral world of the moon. And in Malkut, the physical world, she is our Divine Mother Nature. So again, we're always coming back to this physical world where we do our work, and where our Divine Mother in her Divine Mother Nature form exists. And we say that Malkut is where the work begins, and it's where in our physical world where we awaken our consciousness. So we can't awaken in the internal worlds unless we awaken to the reality of our lives here in the physical world. It's in the physical world where we build the spiritual bodies, where we begin the spiritual path. And it is within our physical life that we conquer the spiritual tests and trials, among them of the four elements. So just remembering and honoring our physical body, which is what we walk with, walk the path, how we do the work. And just remembering our physical body with gratitude, again, just because it's the result of our beautiful Divine Mother Nature, who has given us the gift of this body. And in fact, she herself is the fabric of the molecular structure of our very bodies. So
and this body, it's nourished by the four elements. We know we need air to breathe. We need to the sun and the fire to exist, to be warmed by the earth, to grow food and have shelter, and water just to drink, to survive. So we just have this very basic physical relationship with the four elements. And we can always remember that and come back to it. So when we talk about creation of the physical body, we know that all creation of a person, of a world, of anything, it's the result of the interaction of masculine and feminine divine forces.
God the Father creates and God the Mother realizes. God the Father initiates and the Divine Mother gestates. The Father generates and the Divine Mother manifests. She herself becomes the fabric of creation. She's that matrix and that holding of the divine creative masculine force. The tree of life, which is the archetype of all creation, is the force of the Father descending into and creating nature, and the Divine Mother is interwoven within the branches of this tree. The Divine Mother is the substance of creation, and she has special abilities to separate, transform, and rearrange the basic physicality of matter. In The Yellow Book by Samuel M. Vior, he says, "The Cosmic Mother has no form, but will take on any form in order to answer the supplicant. She can present herself in the form of Isis, Rhea, Sibylis, Tone Unseen, Mary, etc. When the Divine Mother has given her answer to the devotee, she then disintegrates her form instantaneously because she no longer needs it. The Divine Mother is not a woman, nor is she an individual. She is, in fact, an unknown substance. Any form that she takes disintegrates afterward. That is love." So the Divine Mother, who is matter, who is everything, it's still, she is also an unknown substance. So we study the four elements, but it's still mysterious. But the four elements give us clues and give us, you know, fantastic tools with which to work. So the Divine Mother has that power to rearrange the electrons of an atom and to change it completely. We know that the difference between one element and another is the amount of electrons and the formation of them. So she can actually change one element into another. She's our guide on the path of purification of the elements because she is matter itself. From the occultist Paul Foster Case in his book, The Tarot, he says, "The spiritual path passes between the extremes of nature and art. And art, nature gives us the wild body, art must perfect it. Yet a flesh and blood body is the necessary vehicle for mastery as expressed here on the physical plane." So he's speaking about nature in a raw sort of natural animal state, and then art meaning human cultivation. And so we realize that as people, as humans, there's something that keeps us separate from nature. There's a different way that we live than just animals and nature. And humans have this potential for a type of cultivation that's different than the animals and the plants and the minerals. In the human kingdom, we have this very special opportunity for the self-realization of the being, as many masters have taught, and this is really a precious opportunity. However, the humans are really intellectual animals, as Master Samael says. And in our unbalanced and asleep state, we have the animal drives and desires, but unfortunately we have this intellectual capacity to try to fulfill these desires externally. And so we attempt to modify nature and our external environment, and it's just brought a lot of imbalance and pain and suffering in the world. So the spiritual path is that balance of really understanding that we're part of nature. We do have this animal body. And we have basic duties as inhabitants of this planet to respect and honor the delicate balance that exists in nature. But really our greatest potentials as humans is that self-realization of the being and the incarnation of the Christ on earth. So this means, again, that we are working within the four elements here and now as the raw materials for this great work. This is the teaching of the Pankajatva ritual, where our Divine Mother uses the four elements and also the fifth element and she digests and transforms the elements to become the awakened Devi Kundalini. In this teaching, the vital aspects of the elements, called tattvas, are embodied in the four types of food. So we see the earth in grains, the water in fish, fire in red meat, and the air in grapes or wine. And the fifth element is the sexual force of the Divine Mother herself. The tattvas are the vital and astral aspect of the four elements. Earth, as we know it, is a crystallization of the tattva called prithvi. Water is the tattva apas, fire the tattva tejas, and air the tattva vayu. And the tattvas themselves unfold from the fifth element called ether or akash, sometimes called the quintessence, so that essential fifth element. The tattvas themselves, in turn, are a reflection or a crystallization of even higher realms. So we can see in the highest realm of the tree of life called Keter, within the world of Yetzirah. In the Bible, we see that the prophet Ezekiel perceived in that world the four holy creatures, the bull, the lion, the man, and the eagle within the chariot of God. So again, we see these four animals that are combined in the Sphinx, but we also see them throughout the Bible and in different prophets who perceive them representing very high aspects of the four elements. So again, we see that the four elements, they're physical, the four different ways that energy can manifest in this world, but they really exist in all the dimensions and in all the worlds. Malkut, as we know, it's the Kabbalistic term for the physical world, and it's symbolized with the cross of matter, which is the four directions, the four elements. In Taoist cosmology, it said that heaven is circle and the earth is square. So again, those four points. We may be familiar here in North America with the holy medicine wheel of the Native North Americans, which is an equal armed cross with the four colors of alchemy depicted. And nearly every sacred cathedral, temple, every church, lodge, mosque, is based on a square or a rectangular or even a circular and crossed shape. So we see the four elements correspond always to these four cardinal points within the square or within the cross. And the architecture is always designed so that a church or temple faces the east toward the rising sun, which is the hope, light, and regeneration that we call the Christ force. This is just reminding us that we always work within the cross, within the physical reality, here and now. We awaken the consciousness here, we do our work here, we pass the ordeals of the initiatic path in our physical body, in our physical life, with the four directions, the four elements, the four columns of the temple. Just it's here and now, and we are just trying to have our hearts oriented. So that's why the temples are always facing east, to orient our hearts, orient that compass of our essence toward the light. And are that the four directions orient us, because we live on the earth and we live within the cross and we work within the cross. The four elements are the keys in the initiatic path, which Master Samael spoke a lot about. And the great occultist Eliphas Levi says that in order to control elementary spirits and thus become the king of the occult elements, we must have previously undergone the four trials of the ancient initiations. In order to control and subject elementary spirits, we must never yield to the defects which characterize them. In a word, we must conquer them in their strength without ever allowing ourselves to be enthralled by their weaknesses. So each element has these different qualities that embody their particular strengths and weaknesses, at least for us psychologically. In nature, the spirit, the elements and the elementals are just doing their purpose, and it's not good or bad. They're naturally working in harmony. But in the human, if, for example, we have, and psychologically, we have the element of fire, its negative pole is really active, would be a lot of anger, impatience, uncontrolled desire, that sort of thing. And the positive, refined polarity, we've done the psychological work, would be serenity and sweetness, patience. So these four elements hold really important psychological keys. Master Samuel talks about the test of the four elements in his book, The Perfect Matrimony, and in the parts of the teachings of the initiatic path. And so how we work with the four elements really determines how we progress along our initiatic path. Master Samael says that we must become masters of the four elements, kings and queens of creation. And this occurs when we have mastered these elements within ourselves. So of course, it's not us that becomes a king or a queen of creation. It is our being. But we submit to this work, and we submit to the refinement of ourselves psychologically and spiritually on this path.
In his book, The Revolution of Beelzebub, Master Samael says, "The four ordeals within the White Lodge are in order to examine the disciple's morals. For instance, in the ordeal of fire, the disciple is attacked by crowds of enemies who insult him. Instead of returning insults, the disciple throws love toward his enemies. That is how he triumphs in this ordeal, when with serenity he passes through the fire without becoming burned. The ordeal of water for the Gnostic in the White Lodge is given with the sole purpose of knowing what level the disciple's altruism and philanthropy has reached. The White Lodge's ordeal of air is given with the sole purpose of knowing the disciple's capacity for resistance against great adversities and for detachment from material things. Whosoever succumbs to the grave inconveniences of life fails in the ordeal of earth. There are many persons who have passed these ordeals within the very struggle of life, within the daily battle of obtaining their daily bread." So we see that the ordeals of the four elements are very much a part of the probationary tests we find within the minor mysteries. But these tests are occurring constantly. So these are not tests that we simply pass through once and we're done. We are constantly being given the tests by the masters of the White Lodge at the level that we're at psychologically. And it may happen even every day, you know, at different times, like in small ways, we go through little tests of the elements, and then sometimes there are greater tests, greater ordeals. And as we progress and gain this emotional and spiritual maturity and refinement, the tests are still given to us so that we're always refining ourselves and always working, always purifying the elements, always becoming into deeper relationship with them, having more faith in our Divine Mother, and so forth, just always working. So that is pretty much our survey of four elements found in different teachings within Gnosticism and Western esotericism. And I hope that everyone got a little bit of a deeper sense of an appreciation of the four elements. So I just want to end this talk with just a reflection. So we can just, whatever we're doing, we can just take a moment to just relax and reflect briefly on the different aspects of the four elements within us, physically, psychologically, and spiritually. So within our own earth nature, we might find that feeling of feeling stuck, feeling oppressed, feeling that stubbornness, feeling out of options, out of ideas. And within that earth nature, we can relax within that feeling of just being, you know, just really stuck, and like the external circumstances are just impossible to change. But within that, our Divine Mother can show us, our consciousness can find within, we really find a deep patience, a deep tenacity. We can take on the challenges of life without avoiding and accepting this earthly life and continuing to work. So like the bull that, you know, plowing the fields, like the gnomes going to work every day, you know, finding that aspect of the earth nature that is that positive polarity, or even deeper, just the true conscious expression of the earth element in this refined aspect. This the light within that earth element becomes a greater and finer food for our Divine Mother to use in her transmutations and in the birth of the soul, the birth of the Christic virtues, all those things that we know about the Gnostic esoteric path. within our waters, we can feel where those emotions, where we may prefer to just give up and drown in our sorrows, in our conflicting emotions, in a sense of despair, and that heaviness sometimes of the water element, or even just that instability of the ebb and flow of the emotional states. So, but we know that within that, within those waters, in the transmuted, refined states, we discover that hope and the faith to continue on, even when we're shipwrecked on the oceans of life. As Master Somayel says, we find that hope, that faith, and we know that our sexual waters need to circulate and move with transmutation and love, so that our sexual waters don't stagnate. We know that our emotions need to flow into the higher emotional states of the being, so we are not swayed by this ebb and flow of life. Within our fires, we may feel this fire in the negative pole, in the ego aspect, as anger, hatred, as ill will, resentment, impatience. But within this burning fire of ill will and hatred, we can find that tiny blue flame, the pure fire that brings serenity, sweetness, light, and inspiration. We want to be like the salamanders, which live within the fires and are not burned. So we want to be able to be within the fires of our passions and know that a fire is part of who we are physically and energetically, all the elements we have within us. And so we can't just run away from strong emotions, anger, resentment, and so forth, but go deep and go within and find that sweetness and light, and not be afraid and be willing to transmute that fire into more light. Within our air element, we can find within that sense of fear of losing what we cling to, of that ordeal Master Somayel describes of air, where we are falling from a great precipice and have lost our identity, lost our sense of security, lost all the things that we cling to in this life. And if we can go within that and transform that fear, we can find that objectivity of the air elements, that beautiful mental clarity, non-attachment, and true peace. And in this way, we can gain the wings of the spirit. So that is the end of my talk today. Thank you all very much for joining me, for listening, for your attention. I will be taking questions. You can send an email to karateradio@gmail.com. And again, my name is Carly Samish. I'm a missionary in Portland, Oregon. And if you want to reach me, you can do so through my blog, which is called Gnostic Muse. And there's a contact email on that site. And I always welcome comments and questions through my website there. So yeah, go ahead and contact karateradio@gmail.com with any questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we're back, and I have a few questions to answer. So one question that I received is, will we be able to control the elements of nature if we control our behavior? So to that, I will say that the more we are in relationship with our Divine Mother Nature, who is the elements and who really is the one who understands them, and the more we're in relationship with our own being, then they really control the elements of nature. So we may hear about some of these masters who can you know, control the fire, stop a windstorm or start one, you know, stop or start an earthquake and so forth. And this is possible. Those powers are within the realm of the person who has incarnated their being and reached mastery. But it is the being that controls the elements of nature if it is his will. So, you know, now we may feel like we might want to control external elements for various reasons, but further along the path, those goals might change because it's the will of God and our being moving through us more than our own ideas. Even if, you know, we think it's a good idea, often it's still coming from the sleeping of the consciousness to control nature externally. So we just want to start with looking at the elements internally, psychologically, and not even trying to control it necessarily, but to go within the elements, to understand them, to be in relationship with them, to transmute them, to purify them, to pray for the elementals within us to be able to do their work and to be healed and to heal us physically and energetically and psychologically, spiritually. And this will naturally emanate out into our relationship with the physical environments and again, but the really great works of magic happen, and actually controlling nature happen with by the grace of our being, by the will of our being, and through his power and work. So that's what I would say to that. I have another question that says, are the ordeals always specific to one element, or are they ever combined? And that's an interesting question. I'm not entirely sure of the answer to that. I guess I would just say to be, for your own work, to be able to reflect on the nature of the ordeals in their discrete state. So to, you know, really understand through just observing the elements in nature, and of course from studying Master Samael and the other masters who have written about this, you know, to understand what that fire feels like, that ordeal of fire, ordeal of earth, ordeal of air, of water. Often that can be what helps us to pass the tests, whether in the astral plane or physically, is, you know, being able to, in that moment sometimes, to recognize the nature of the test and to know that solution, to know, oh, this, you know, anger is really burning within me, so I want to just try to be serene and find that serenity within it, that type of thing. So I imagine that it's possible that they can be combined, but yeah, in my personal experience, I think just understanding the discrete elements and their flavors and natures is really helpful, and a combination ordeal might be very difficult, but it's possible. So okay, so I hope those are helpful. I hope I answered your questions. And thank you all very much for listening to Karate Radio and for tuning into this lecture. I really appreciate it. I hope that it's helpful for your work. And yes, please find me on GnosticMuse.com and send me questions, comments. And all right, very good. So have a good afternoon. I'm signing off.